Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, how are you doing this week?
Good, Jim. How are you doing this week?
I'm very good. Very anxious to get into our topic for the day. We are going to talk about the new coordinators. That's a huge deal. Huge position in with any school, with any team. But I think it's even more important at Penn State. I'll try to be careful. I'm critical of people who call James Franklin a good CEO, because I think what comes along with that is the insinuation that he's not actually a good coach. But I think at Penn State, he has overall, and he describes it, he wants his coordinators to be the head coach of their unit, correct?
Correct. Yeah. He's over time at Penn State, he's evolved as the way he handles his coordinators and the way and the expectations and what he wants from them. And it's also clear on game day that they are in control and they are calling the shots. And that's a really good thing, but it's taken him a little bit of evolution to get there in terms of his coaching as a head coach. But yeah, he's fully squared out. Now, we saw the other side of it a little bit in 2023 with Mike Yurcich. You know, it went sideways and it got a little worse as time went along and forced him to pull the firing trigger, which is obviously, to me, is also something unusual for him to do, is fire in season. But that shows you the autonomy he gives them. And that's why the jobs were appealing.
Yeah, it is an attractive position. And when I say position, I'm not talking about one side or the other. I'm saying as a coordinator at Penn State, it's an attractive position. And I think what we've seen over the last couple of years, the precedent, you know, there was very, very little doubt that Manny Diaz was the head coach of the defense, Andy.
You're right. Yeah, no, he was the head coach of the defense. He was an alpha dog. Let's just put it that way. And not in his personality, but in the way he coached football on game day and the way he extracted so much out of the players and got the – and he was clearly the alpha dog on defense. It's just there's no other way to put it. He was large and in charge.
And, Andy, you know, I'll disagree with you on only one part, and this is benefit of having Landon as part of our team and talking about. He said, you know what, Manny Diaz would speak not just to the defense. He would speak sometimes to the entire team, and he spoke like a head coach.
Right.
He was inspirational like a head coach. So he had that kind of personality, and I think that had something to do then with James Franklin bringing in another head coach in Tom Allen as a defensive coordinator. I think he wants to recreate that kind of personality, that kind of leader. So now, with that said, though, I want to start on the other side of the ball, on the offensive side. And it's, okay, Andy Kotelnicki is there in place of Mike Yurcich. You made a great point where I think Mike Yurcich and handing the keys to him to the offense was something that James Franklin said, uh-oh, not a great decision, and decided that in season and made the change. So now he brings in Andy Kotelnicki, and the question becomes, okay, what do we want to see from Andy Kotelnicki? A lot of ways to look at this, a lot of things on the offensive side of the ball. And I think first and foremost is going to be his handling of the quarterback. Drew Aller, tremendous pedigree, huge kid, big arm, but there's no other way to put it. In the big games, he came up very small, Andy, and it's I think the handling of the quarterback is going to be priority number one.
Yeah, and I know the Big Ten's expanding, and they're going to have – they've got more better marquee games on their schedule. It's just not about Michigan and Ohio State anymore. But there's a conflict in me. It's like what – overall, when you look at the quarterback – when you look at the offense and you look right at Drew Aller, you're like, overall – I mean, you know, nearly 400 yards and 37 points, and Drew Aller throws for, you know, 2,600 yards and 20-some touchdowns and very few interceptions. And it's the big games and it's everything else, right? Like, it's a small sample size versus a big sample size. But the small sample size was so, so impactful that all of the other stuff done in the other games just became trivialized and minimalized. And I get it. It is for a reason that they were so inept when the bright lights became the hottest and the shiniest. And that is what I think Andy's biggest challenge is to make this offense move in a direction where A, it builds momentum, and B, it sort of has an impact or has a say in the outcome of the game when the lights are brightest. And Penn State had none of that. None of that in 2020. I mean, for argument's sake, Jimmy, the best game Penn State's offense played all year was against West Virginia, probably. Most complete, you know, consistent overall over the course of a four-quarter game, the most consistent effort in any game was West Virginia. And then it only went a little downhill and became choppier after that the rest of the way. And then you had the cliff of the big games where the offense just completely, you know, it completely evaporated and had no say or any impact on the game, almost minimal impact on the game, if any at all. So it's sort of it's a very weird dynamic. It's not like this offense struggled over the course of an entire season massively, right? Like the running backs combined for 1,700, you know, rushing yards. What's wrong with that? There isn't, except when the lights were brightest, the entire offense was MIA. So it is I think it's a little bit of a tricky situation for Andy to navigate in terms of the expectations, but I also think he has some really, really good tools in his toolkit to play with and work with, and that's more important than anything else to me.
Well, again, you know, the specific question is that I think there's a confidence question with Drew Aller. I think he has a lot of the skill sets. And as you said, some of the numbers, you know, number of touchdowns versus number of interceptions. But James Franklin said, we've got to help him. We've got to create easy situations for him to get completions. And I think that alone would help him. And it's a question of, can a new coordinator get that out of him? Now, let's stay at the quarterback position a little bit, Andy. And you have the Bo Prabula question. And they, towards the end of the season, they actually did start to use him more. Andy Kotelnicki had a similar situation at Kansas where he had two quarterbacks, one the more, you know, pro style, could throw the ball, the other guy more of a threat running the ball, which is a situation we have here. So how does Andy Kotelnicki use Bo Prabula?
Yeah, that's a good question. It isn't a good question. It's whether or, to me, it's whether or not, and I think he will, after listening to James Franklin all last season, into the preseason and in the early part of the season, talk about Bo and the two different quarterbacks and how they're distinctly different and they bring different things to the table. When we got to see Bo Prabula play, James was 100% right. It was. And he was a contributor. It just... he handed the keys to Yurcich and it didn't happen. So one thing I like that Andy does is he puts mind pressure on a defense. He uses a lot of motion and a lot of sort of ancillary stuff in his offense so that he puts pressure on a defense where defenses are best when they're playing and not thinking, you know, when they're not like pointing out reads and trying to figure out who's got who and that kind of stuff. He does that to put a lot of pressure on defense. And I think Bo Prabhula is the kind of quarterback that Andy will love to torment defenses with. Because you don't know what – they're not going to play Bo Prabhula and just run him. They're not going to do that. They're going to come up with more stuff for him to do and contribute in his role. And I think he's going to be Andy's tormentor to defenses and defensive coordinators throughout the season. Because you have to use him. And because Bo, you know, he's the guy that has to find a role in this offense. And I think Andy's a great guy to find a niche for him. But first and foremost, yeah, I like your word confidence problem. Here's the other thing that as you look back and watch over the course of the season, think about it. I think another big priority for Andy is to get Drew Aller to believe in what he's doing. I'm not sure Drew Aller believed in what this offense was trying to do. He's a pleaser, so he was making it work as best he could, but it just didn't appear that he believed wholly and was fully committed, not in that he didn't try or wasn't putting in the work. He wasn't fully committed mentally to the concept or the offense that was being built around him and for him. So this is a fresh start for him, but his confidence, you are 100% right. His confidence is priority number one for Andy.
And the situation was such where before the season started, remember, James Franklin complimented him so much. Oh, he's gone 3 weeks at practice without throwing an interception. Do you run into a situation where that seed has been sown, hey, don't throw interceptions, and you do that to the point of detriment? Andy, we're wrapping up quarter number one. When we come back, you said he's got to find that niche for Bo Prabhula. When we start quarter number two, my question to you is going to be, all right, Andy, what is that niche? How are we going to see him being used? Third down guy, red zone guy? You and I are going to talk more about that when we come back. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app Keystone Sports.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about these new coordinators at Penn State. We're starting on the offensive side with Andy Kotelnicki. And you know me, Andy, when I'm asking questions, and I don't like general answers. I want specific answers. I want to know exactly where we're headed. So when I ask about Bo Prabula, and it's like, okay, if you're Andy Kotelnicki, let's make you a different Andy, the offensive coordinator. And it's, okay, I look at it like, here are some of the options. Last year, they seemed to, at the end of the year, want to use them when they got inside the 10-yard line, okay, yep. When they're in the red zone. I think you could also use him as a, you know, the third down quarterback when it's third and short and his threat to use his legs is a factor. I think you could also use him as a changeup when the offense isn't going well. How about putting him in for an entire series? Give the defense something completely different to worry about, which is a quarterback who's a threat to run. A fourth option, let's get him out there at the same time with Drew Aller so you have the two quarterback thing. All right, Andy, you're the coordinator. Any of those options strike your fancy?
All the above, Jimmy. I think his greatest wealth as a, you know, like as a developed member of the offense, not just a specialized or situational member of the offense, first of all, run, pass, options. Not option, options. Options to run inside, options to run outside, options to go into the middle and sprint. He throws particularly well on the run and creates chaos when he's on the move, whether it's just with his legs or with his legs and he's outside the pocket looking for being a threat to throw. I think in the purest sense of run-pass options, you can put him in for a strength. And if I think about it in a game, I think it's a 10% role, maybe even a 20% role. What's wrong with game planning a package for Bo Prabula that includes 10 to 20% of the snaps per game? You do it with everything else. Why not do it with the quarterback when you got the asset?
I'm with you, Andy. I like that line of thinking. All right, let's look at some of the other pieces sure. to this, which is the running backs. You said early on, gee, the running backs, the numbers are good. Well, the numbers aren't quite as good for Nick Singleton. We didn't see the explosive plays from him. Can a coordinator help create those explosive plays?
Yes, 300%. I thought you saw a little bit better 2023 version of Nick Singleton after the offensive coordinator was fired, just in the way they schemed and designed stuff that was specifically for him and to use his assets. He's the wild card, Jimmy. He's the X factor to me, for Andy, because Andy, if you look at the way Andy does his offense, it's a little bit of, I hate to use the term again, he's got a little bit of mad sinus in him. It's a lot of, like, there's a lot of window dressing around it, but at the end of the day, it's not that complicated, right? Like, his offense isn't that complicated. There's a lot that goes on. There's a lot of movement, a lot of motion, a lot of sort of eye candy stuff, like, Are they going to yang or are they going to yang? But at the end of the day, the way the offense is coordinated, it's not very tricky. It's simply just taking what you have and using it. That's why he's been so adaptable. And what they have in Nick Singleton is an inside-out explosive bomb, right? He can run power and be good on the inside, but that's not all he can do, and that's not all he needs to be doing. He's an explosive time bomb in space. You saw it his freshman year. You didn't see it as much as his sophomore year. Andy knows that. That will be his priority for the running backs, is to make Nick Singleton the inside-out explosive bomb that he can be as a playmaker and as a running back.
With the running back like Nick Singleton, I love seeing them catch the ball out of the backfield. And because I think it just creates the opportunities that Nick Singleton is designed for. And I know it was Michigan State, but you saw the play where he was lined up outside, got the little screen pass. He needed a block to break him, but one block, and I think it was Tyler Warren, by the way, and Nick Singleton was gone. I look for that. That's what I'm hoping to see. Give Nick Singleton those opportunities. Go ahead.
I'd like to see a little bit of, you know, a counter tray with a pulling guard or pulling center. And you know, you can be in your regular shotgun snap if that's the way they're going to do it. How about where he sprints out and instead of a screen pass, how about a toss pitch where he goes to the edge? Like it's a toss to him and then his line is straight to the edge, just looking for a little space of green. As you just said it, Jimmy, all he needs is a little seam and he's gone. That's what he is. And now, that's what they need to create.
One of the things our colleague T. Frank has talked about was the inability in 23 as compared to 22 on that kind of play for the tight end to pin the defensive end, where Bretton Strange was pretty good at it, and you have that same consistency. All right, let's talk about, you know, the elephant in the room, which is the wide receivers. And, you know, how do you counter this issue if you feel you've got weakness at wide receiver? One way is to play multiple tight ends. But I think for an offense to do everything they want to do, you need to get more out of the wide receivers. So now, will they just naturally get more out of them because you have Julian Fleming there? Hopefully a healthier season from Trey Wallace.
Right.
You know, Keandre Lambert-Smith, who we all were convinced was going to be out the door, at least for now, is still around. So do you have more at wide receiver, and do you have now a coordinator who can help the wide receivers get separation? He could scheme that for them.
Oh, man, Jimmy, he's got a really – that. I mean, he's got a dog with a lot of fleas on it to work on. I mean, it's going to be the biggest inherent challenge to him as a football coach will be trying to make this wide receiving core. And Julian Fleming should, a healthy Julian Fleming should and could provide some help / relief to their inability to create any impact from that position at all, pretty much. So I think he's got to start out, in my opinion, with, you know, figuring out what bag of tricks he has, but more importantly, to figure out what he doesn't have. He needs to figure out what these guys can't do. We think we know what they can't do, but I just don't think they reached anything near a potential last year in any way, shape, or form. So he has to see through camp and through spring practice what they can actually do, but more importantly, what they can't do, so what he can't put on the table. I think more than anything, Penn State's receivers in 2023, in the way the offense was designed and built, were asked to do way more than they were capable of. That is a key for me. Don't ask this group to do more than it can, because like I said, it's a dog with a lot of fleas, Jimmy.
Well, I think that wide receiver room could benefit from a new set of eyes looking at them and trying to identify whatever strengths they have. But now, Andy, let's go. I had a conversation earlier this week with one of our listeners, and it's funny, as we got into this process of talking about the offense, and I brought up, you know, you mentioned the RPO, and let's talk about it with Drew Aller, who even in your scenario is going to be the guy 80% of the time. And if I see one more zone read where allegedly the option is for the quarterback to keep the ball, and he never keeps the ball. And I was told by this listener, yes, Jim, we know how you feel about it. You've brought it up enough times, and I have. So, Andy, what should we be looking for, you know, in that running game concept? Do we want to see more RPO with Drew Aller? Like I said, I know we don't want to see that option for the quarterback to run the ball because it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's just he's not an RPO quarterback per se, you know, in terms of by design. Or if you're going to do it, call his number, right? Like, I think you either have to sort of scrap it a little bit as in terms of Drew Aller. I mean, you're still going to have your play fakes and stuff for play action passing, but either scrap it or freaking use it. Don't just make it a statue out there or something that you're, you know, you're sort of faux presenting as an option, because it wasn't. So Andy's all about window dressing and eye candy. So I think you're going to see a very different version of an RPO with Drew as a quarterback. And, you know, he doesn't run fluidly, but he's not bad. I think if you ran him consistently as a tall soldier, he kind of runs like a tall soldier, very upright and very stiff. He's going to get creamed. There's no other way to put it. So you have to come up with a way that he can use it smartly, or just scrap it all together in terms of using it as an eye candy part of him being the quarterback. That's just the way I see it. If you're not going to use it, then why even try it?
Well, I look at it, Andy, like, okay, there's, you know, a run-run option. Running back or quarterback run the ball. I think that just should be scrapped. RPO, though, you have two exceptional running backs that defenses have to focus on. The theory is with an RPO, it's like, get that defense to worry about the running backs, and then I have an opening to throw the ball.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I hate to say that, Jimmy, because I don't like to agree with you, but, you know, not by course, but seems by natural course, we tend to disagree sometimes. But in this instance, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. And a pass doesn't always mean the ball has to go downfield. You wait till you see with Andy. He is one of his strengths, in my opinion, is as a screen game coordinator. Watch that screen game development, inside and outside, and slip screens, all different kinds of them. Watch it develop in 2024. You're going to like it.
And if that's a way to get the ball to Nick Singleton, I like it. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. Stick around quarter three, your questions, and we ask Andy. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. You know what that means? It's time to ask Andy. We'll take your questions for Andy in this segment. And if you want to send a question in to Andy, here's what you do. You download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button. Actually, I think it says Ask Andy or Ask T. Frank. Go there. You could pick out Andy. You could send him a question. And who knows? Maybe next week we'll be asking your question. All right, let's start with Mason in Reading, who I think Mason's looking to stir stuff up here, Andy.
He says,
Andy, Jim did a show earlier this week where he was very critical of Bill O'Brien. I wanted to get your take on O'Brien's tenure at Penn State. Let me just clarify, okay? Very critical, maybe critical, but not very critical. Okay. I had people who said they want to put up a statue to Bill O'Brien. I don't want to put up a statue. Andy, your take on the Bill O'Brien tenure at Penn State.
Yeah. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Bill O'Brien because of what he did and how he sort of maneuvered and handled the Penn State head football coaching job at that time and what he did. The way he sort of, you know, he wasn't responsible in any way, shape, or form for what was, you know, sort of at his front door, but he didn't run from it. He embraced it. He, you know, they put him out front a lot and made him answer some tough questions for it. He took them. I thought the way he maneuvered, you know, the players that he had and the way he, you know, sort of, you know, tried to keep them competitive and went unconventional and, you know, it could have been a lot worse than it was football-wise. And I think at the end of the day, a lot of that credit belongs at the feet of Bill O'Brien. Football-wise, it could have fallen off a cliff. And it didn't, Jimmy. That was for a reason. Because all the ingredients were in place for Penn State football-wise for that program to fall off a cliff for a bit. And it took a step back in some, you know, a little bit football-wise. But overall, that sort of, you know, what was almost, you know, just a step short of the nuclear option for a football program, Bill O'Brien made sure that didn't happen. And he deserves a lot of respect for that, in my opinion.
Andy, I think, you know, some of this gets confused. And as I said, Mason used the expression, Jim was very critical. And I think where I have the issue is, I think, as far as the sanctions go, James Franklin had more of the brunt of the sanctions in
roster
year
wise,
three
yes.
and four
yes.
than Bill O'Brien did. Okay.
Yes.
And I know I mentioned this more than once in, you know, the last couple shows that I did with Chris Buchanani, but I'll bring it out again so because I know there are some folks who listen to this show with you that don't hear it there before. If you recall, Bill O'Brien lost his first two games with Penn State, and he lost to bad teams, Ohio and Virginia. Yep. The talent, I don't care. You know, there were a couple pit players left the Penn State program, but Penn State still had the much, much, much better roster than those two teams.
Correct.
And Bill O'Brien found a way to lose both those games.
Yeah.
But what I think happened, Andy, was that a lot of people then looked at it as if, okay, Penn State, they sunk. People who didn't know really the details of what talent left, what all they knew was sanctions and players left. And they saw Penn State lose to Ohio and say, oh my goodness, they fell off the cliff. They have no talent. They're going to be awful. And they finished that season 8-4, and Bill O'Brien got Coach of the Year. Well, I think he got Coach of the Year because he just lowered the bar so badly those first couple games, Andy. And I'm not saying he was an awful coach, but I don't think he deserved Coach of the Year either. Once you lose those two games, you should be off the ballot, okay? So that is my take there, Andy. I know my take's not a popular one. Trust me. I've heard from our listeners. Yeah. So anyway, all right, let's move on. Let's go to Jimmy in Forest City, who says, Andy, NIL details are sketchy at best to fans. Are incentives or bonuses allowed for NIL payments? For example, might a school like Ohio State offer $500,000 to sign with another $500,000 if they make the championship game?
Wow. I don't know how the deals are structured, but I think there are incentives that can be in, but at a percentage of what the total payout is. And obviously, I don't think it's like 50-50.
Well, I think, Andy, the against the rules, I'm putting that in air quotes, you have right. to be careful with that. And I'm going to be talking with some other folks this week about Landon specifically. We're really going to get into it because there's a couple lawsuits going on now right. where the NCAA has some rules. Essentially, the rule is, I can't offer you, Andy, money to come to Penn State, whether you're a high school player or a transfer portal guy.
Correct.
That's against the rules. You could only be offered money once you're at Penn State to do some kind of name, image, likeness type of thing. That's correct. The NCAA rule. Everybody's breaking that rule, Andy. It's being correct. Broken. And now, finally, the NCAA is going after a couple schools, Tennessee, Florida. But not only are the schools defending themselves, but there's a couple state attorneys general who are fighting them in court. And essentially, the court argument's going to be, NCAA, you cannot restrict my client's ability to make money.
Correct.
In theory, correct. In theory, you know, in our country, that's the basic rule. Andy, you could choose to make as much money as you want. If somebody else wants to pay you more to be on their radio show, you can go do that. That's a basic right. So, you know, the question is, should it be illegal? Is it illegal? In a way, that's irrelevant. I suspect pretty soon the courts are going to decide on this. And I'm just hopeful that there's some kind of structure, some kind of rule, whether it's a very easy rule or a very strict rule, but something there, some guideline.
It's a wild mess, Jimmy. It's yes. crazy. And basically the NCAA is trying to argue in court that free agency, the free part of free agency doesn't exist, right? It is not free agency in that you can't do X, Y, and Z this way, but it is free agency. Well, and
the other part to that, Andy, on that transfer part, one of the places where the NCAA wanted to put their foot down is, okay, you get one free transfer, but as an undergrad, you don't get a second free right. transfer. Once you graduate, you can. but not as an undergrad. Well, guess what? You know, the NCAA's got to be careful where it picks its fights, because that's going to be another one with pretty much the same argument.
Correct.
If I'm defending the player, hey, every other student in the country could transfer schools more than once as an undergrad. Why are you restricting my client? That will be the argument. So, all right, let's move on. Andy, let's go to Daniel in Montgomery, who says, been reading about Kalen King being underwhelming at the Senior Bowl. Do you think we've been overrating him?
No, in theory, yes, I've been reading about him struggling a little bit at the Senior Bowl. I don't think he was underrated. I don't think so. Here's the way. I don't think his 2023 was built upon, or he extended his impact as a corner. Like, from 2021 to 2022, he clearly made a big jump, right? Like, that was very obvious. There wasn't a jump in 2022 to 2023, but I don't necessarily know that he regressed as a corner. I know his partner on the other side took a jump from 2022 to 2023, and that closed the gap between the two. And he still has all the tools and skills you could want. It's just, he'll unlock them. It'll come. He just has too much talent. But yeah, I've read about it as well.
Okay. Let's sneak in one more. Tim from Port Matilda. Tim, we don't have enough time in this segment to read your full question. You said for me to chop it down a bit. Here it is, chopped down. Tim says, I got a feeling, Andy, you're going to agree with me on this, and I also want your thoughts, Jim. About Ryan Day, I don't think he has the it as a head coach. This kind of stems from your conversation with Chris, where you talked about the media shapes our opinion on certain head coaches. I truly think Ryan Day just hopped on the Urban Meyer train, and he agrees with what Jim Harbaugh said about Ryan Day. Born on third base and thinks he hit a triple. Andy, your take on Ryan Day?
Yeah, he's not it. He's a jackwagon. I think he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room every single time, but he doesn't know it, that he's not. And, you know, he's an example of a guy that has more talent than anybody and has done less with more than most. He's a less than more than most guy. And he went after Lou Holtz. That makes you look like an ass. Sorry, but, you know, there's no other way to put it. Don't do that.
All right. I think, Tim, from Andy's answer, you could conclude he's not a Ryan Day fan. Andy, that is it for our Ask Andy segment. Stick around. We're going to talk defensive coordinator in quarter number four. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. Just want to put a bow on that last question in the Ask Andy segment, where I think it was Tim from Port Matilda who asked about Ryan Day. I will just add this, Andy. Obviously, you're not a huge fan of his.
No.
Boy, I don't know another coach who's going to have the same heat on him as this year that he has. He better not lose to Michigan again. He's got, from recruiting, as always, got, you know, the most talent than anybody in the country outside of perhaps Georgia. And they spent a lot of money on the portal. So he better win this year. By win, I don't know if that means national championship game, win a couple games in the playoffs, but he better satisfy his Ohio State fan base. All right, Andy, we said this program was about the coordinators. We did Q1 and Q2 on Andy Kotelnicki and the offense. Now it's time to shift to the defense. And one more thing, I've been reminded by our listeners, yes, Jim is a fan of Manny Diaz. I thought he was spectacular as the defensive coordinator. And one of the obvious traits of the Manny Diaz defense with Penn State has been just how aggressive they are, how they send a lot of people. You get into a third and long situation, you're going to see seven guys up against the line of scrimmage, and guys could be coming from anywhere. I mean, this is a guy who sent two cornerbacks from the same side and turned it into an interception. That was the KJ Winston interception, by the way. First question, Andy. You want to see Tom Allen go just as aggressive as Manny Diaz?
I do not. Not in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't have the personnel right now for it. That's pure and simple. He doesn't have a half dozen NFL talent players on his roster backed up by six more that are young, you know, would-be NFL talents on right now. There's still going to be a talented defense, but I don't think they can play as that defense. That defense was a home wrecker, and the Ole Miss game sort of was a foreshadow of when you take that much high-end NFL talent off a roster. Now, that was a perfect storm because they met against an offense that was absolutely en fuego and playing its best football of the season and was built to attack a defense like Penn State's. At strength versus strength, I would have loved to have seen that matchup, but it didn't play out that way. And I'm not saying that Penn State's defense is going to take two or three step backs and that you shouldn't have high expectations for it. I just don't think, to answer your question, that they can be quite the same hair on fire home wrecker that they came to be known as under Manny Diaz.
I think, Andy, what's going to happen is you're taking six NFL players off that defensive roster. The three cornerbacks, King, Dixon, Hardy, Curtis Jacobs, the linebacker, Adisa Isaac at defensive end, and Chop Robinson at defensive end. Six NFL players. You don't take those players off and expect to have the same defense. If Manny Diaz was back next year, it still wouldn't be the same. They would still take a step or two back.
I agree.
You know what? A step or two back still means they're really good. And my question now then, as the coordinator, though, is what are the things you do because of that? You know, I mentioned the two defensive ends, Adisa Isaac, Chop Robinson, are gone. That was, I think, a lot of what this defense was built on, that aggressiveness, because you knew, boy, you got to take care of those defensive ends, and it opened up things for a lot of other folks. My question is, if you're Tom Allen, what do you do with Abdul Carter? Do you use him differently now? Does he become like an edge guy? Because you didn't need to put him there when you had Chop Robinson and Adisa Isaac there. But now you don't have those guys. What do you do with Abdul Carter? How do you best use his skill set?
So that gets to be Tom Allen's playground, right? That's the way – this is the way I look at it, and it's twofold. One is the second half of the season, Abdul Carter, became more of the impact linebacker that you expected. But he also had a lot of similarly talented – NFL-type impact players around him. He will, quote-unquote, not... He's going to be the big man on campus for the defense, and he's the one that's going to can cause the most trouble. Yeah, I think you're going to see him at defensive end. I think you're going to see him rushing off the edge. I think you're going to see him rushing up the middle. I think you could, in a say an offense has an 8, 9, 10-play series, right, against Penn State's defense. I think you could see him in at least two, maybe three different positions, even during that one drive. He provides you so many options, and there is a second side of this that I want to point out, is I think Tom Allen has the ability to do that with Abdul Carter without having to look at a quote-unquote stop loss, and I think Tony Rojas is a second part of the equation that sort of elevates and allows Tom Allen to play mix and match and a little bit of, you know, wild, wild west with Abdul Carter. If Rojas continues to progress the way you saw in a snapshot, right? And it was pretty darn impressive as a linebacker, Jimmy. There's no other way to put it. In a limited sample size, that kid's got some chops. I think he helps and allows Tom Allen to play Abdul Carter wherever he wants to play Abdul Carter.
That's an excellent point, that there's enough skill set at the linebacker position with the addition of Tony Rojas. I think what you also have, Andy, with every defensive tackle coming back.
Yes.
I think they did a nice job last year, but I think we're going to see even more advancement from them this year, just from the experience, the depth, and I do think there's enough, you know, really good explosive players. You mentioned Tony Rojas. There's KJ Winston. There's, you know, the strength of the defensive tackles. I do think you will have the ability to put Abdul Carter in a position where he can make up a bit for what you're losing at defensive end. Now, we also talked about, you know, at cornerback, they had three NFL cornerbacks. And that meant, you know, Daquan Hardy as that third cornerback, the slot guy, third down or, you know, passing downs. You took a linebacker out, you put Daquan Hardy in. Question is, how does Tom Allen fill that position this year? Because that doesn't have to be a cornerback. It could be. It
right.
could be a safety, or it could still be a linebacker. How does he take care of that, those passing downs?
So I think he will use – I think he's going to have – I think he'll have two different versions of a nickel based on situation. I think there is part of me that says I could see that – I could see DeLuca playing a little bit of that role as a linebacker, right? I just think he does that. You've got your choice of safeties, right? You could – They've got four safeties, Jimmy. They got four safeties who could probably start at a lot of schools. So I think a safety could be a role. It might be, you know, I mean, you brought in two transfer portals at the corner. Is, you know, Jalen Kimber, is he good enough to be, you know, to step in and play the Daquan Hardy role as a corner to get himself on the field with, you know, you figure Cam Miller and AJ Harris are probably your 1-2 as you look at it right now. Is he the one? Either way, I think he's going to be able to use a couple different packages, and he's got the depth of players. Daquan Hardy was just so good at it all that he left you no choice but to make him in that role. Those don't come around very often, Jimmy, the way it looked, the way Daquan Hardy did it, right? Like, one guy isn't capable of doing that much that well. So I think he's going to have to mix and match a little, and that'll be a lot of scheme work. And one thing I like about Tom Allen more than anything, I'm not a big fan of him when he was the head coach, the cheerleader. It just annoyed the crap out of me. But I kind of forgot until James, you know, hired him and I started digging into it more. I kind of forgot that he's a really good defensive football mind and a really good defensive football coach. Like, that sort of escaped me when he was a head coach. And, you know, ball-wise, schematics, you know, process, how you plan to attack it, how you actually do it. I think he's got options to work with, and he could come up with more than one solution.
You make a good point there of having options. You know, remember last season we talked that on defense it feels like there's about 20 starters.
Correct.
So, yes, when you lose six NFL players, you're going to be hurt by that. But that still leaves a lot of depth, a lot of guys who deserve to be on the field who have earned it. So you are going to have options. So that's a good point. And the question, one of the questions is, with the loss of three cornerbacks, do you still have three of them that you have the level of confidence in that you could put them on the field the way you did, you know, with Daquan Hardy? So that is the question, Andy. You know, what is the confidence level in the cornerbacks that they have this year?
Yeah, I want to be careful and start with Cam Miller, the, you know, the guy they recruited. That was just a baptism by fire against Ole Miss. I still think through the course of the season, and he developed nicely, I think he's going to be a quality corner for Penn State. And I don't even think he took a step backwards against Ole Miss. I really don't. I didn't see bad technique. I didn't see him making bad decisions. He was just up against a full-grown man who's NFL ready and is going to be, you know, a drafted player. And he's a beast. It's like sending him out to cover, you know, AJ Brown from the Eagles, you know, like a rookie corner. Go cover this guy. Oh, yeah, right. How's that going to work out for you? But they went deep into the portal. I mean, to go to relevant players that they want to play and want to start and need them to start, that's a little unusual for Penn State. And they landed two guys from the SEC, and they're going to be in the equation. And I can't see any scenario where at least one of them doesn't start.
Okay, and just to follow up with Cam Miller, against Marvin Harrison, Kalen King didn't look like an NFL cornerback.
Good point.
And I thought this guy from Ole Miss played an even better game, and so Amen. Did that quarterback. They were on fire. Andy, unfortunately, it went fast, but that is it for the show. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. This is Jim from the Keystone Sports Network. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all our loyal listeners. As we approach the football offseason, a reminder that we will be here year-round talking Penn State football with all your old favorites, Dustin, T. Frank, Andy, and Jeff, along with newcomers Landon and Sean. But that's not all. We plan on bringing you new shows on our podcast format where we take a more in-depth look at not only Penn State football, but also the other Penn State sports. So be sure to download our app, Keystone Sports.